it's time for Word on the Street. Soccer Sam welcomes the biggest names in Rochester sports, politics, media, and community to talk one-on-one. This is not your average interview show. Sam goes way beyond, some might say over the line, to get the inside dirt. Be a part of the show. Call or text 222-1280. Now live from the Fox Sports 1280 studios in downtown Rochester, this is Word on the Street. Here's Soccer Sam.
I'm not Soccer Sam, and I'm okay with that. My name is Jeff DeVeronica. I usually occupy this chair during the school year when I'm hosting the Connors and Ferris High School Sports Show brought to you by Salvatore's Pizza. But I'm sitting in for the vacationing soccer. Oh, no, he was just here. Never mind. He was not vacationing. Actually, that guy every day is kind of a little bit like a vacation for that guy. And God bless him. He worked his tail off to get to where he is in this world. In any event, here's what we're talking about today on the show. And it deals a little bit about my former life as a reporter for more than two decades, a sports reporter mostly with the Democrat and Chronicle. Democrat and Chronicle is owned by Gannett. It's one of the largest publishing companies in the country. Used to be headquartered here in Rochester. A little history lesson here. Frank Gannett founded Gannett somewhere in the Elmira area and quickly moved it to Rochester. But it was headquartered here until the 80s when something called USA Today was formed down in the Arlington, Virginia area. And a lot of the staff from Rochester actually went. They left the Times Union and the Democrat Chronicle, the two Gannett papers here locally, to help start up USA Today. And when I came to the Democrat Chronicle in the early 90s, it was, and I worked there part-time in college when I was at St. John Fisher, it was like considered, you kind of, to a degree, you kind of made it, you know? You're working for the big paper in town. And I joined the DNC in December of 1993, and I stayed there until July of 2018 when I decided it was time to move on to a different career. I'm now the Director of Information, which is kind of PR, marketing, communications for the West Irondequoit School District. And my guest you're going to hear from in just a minute is Todd Clausen, who worked many different beats over the years at the Democrat and Chronicle. He was there for about a dozen years, and he says during our interview that he kind of changed jobs every couple of years. His last iteration there was as a business reporter, and Todd actually used to work for the Wolf newspapers, which were owned by what was then what became Gatehouse. Gatehouse bought the company that owned Wolf, and now papers like the Canandaigua Messenger, owned by Gatehouse. Actually, if this Gannett and Gatehouse merger goes through, and it's a deal that would combine the two largest newspaper publishers in the country, it would give them more advertising power. It would streamline some of their editing. I know there are people worried about them losing jobs, but I don't think they would take reporters and people off the street. But Todd and I break that down a little bit. Now, Todd does PR for school districts too. So we have a part one of our interview with Todd Clausen coming up right now. We'll come back, talk more about the DNC and the local impact of this potential merger, which I think is going to happen despite some reports in the last 48 hours that it might not. It was a $1.4 billion purchase, and it would be Gatehouse purchasing Gannett, and but they would keep the Gannett name. So here's my interview right now with Todd Clausen. All right, we're here. It's our first interview today. It's Todd Clausen, and he is a public relations specialist. He does PR for Midlake Schools and for BOCES, and he's also my former colleague with the Democrat and Chronicle. Todd, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this interview. We couldn't do it live on the air, but obviously you have an expertise in the media industry that few have. You've worked, honestly, for Gatehouse and for Gannett. I don't know many people in this market worked for him. I think Steve Bradley did, actually, I think, right?
Yeah, we worked, Bradley and I, our times overlapped. Jamie Germano worked for Messenger Post, but I don't think it was Gatehouse then. And I might have left them before Gatehouse. It was really close on the turnover. But Rock Devo, it's great to see you again.
So we wanted, yeah, we live like a mile from each other, don't see each other. So let's talk about, though, the news this week. Did it surprise you that Gatehouse bought Gannett? And let me ask you this first, because I didn't know it. I didn't know Gatehouse was headquartered in Pittsford, New York.
Yeah.
Is that a new thing that happened like 5-6 years ago? Or
They've been there a while. So you remember our old business buddy, Matt Daneman.
Like
he used to write stories on Gatehouse all the time. And, you know, Pittsford, Parenton-based. at least 10 years, 15 years. It was right after they bought like the old Wolf Papers and the Daily Messenger in Canandaigua that they moved their headquarters locally. So
did this surprise you?
Well, there's been inklings of this for a while now. It hasn't officially been done, right? Some headlines have said acquired, or they're trying to. They wanted the deal to close by the end of the year. There's potentially a stock split and $6 on top of every share if you're a Gannett shareholder already. So
we no longer have Gannett stock, you and I.
Well, yeah, there might be something somewhere in a 401k, but yeah, most of us have gotten, and you know, the share price shot up to like 11, 12 bucks, and now I look today, it's like back down to 9. And that'll usually happen when these things happen.
So why do you think they did this?
Well, first thing, did it surprise me? Get back to your first question. Gatehouse has always loved to acquire. They've been doing it, community newspapers, small dailies all across the country for years. In fact, it was kind of it appeared to be like their growth strategy. I'm going to acquire a newspaper. I'm going to create some synergies by eliminating, you know, duplicate services, mm-hmm. and then, you know, just bring them into the family. But what had happened is they kept on acquiring. And as we know from years now, 20 years in newspapers for me, but even before that, there was consolidation in the newspaper industries, dailies, mornings, right. Afternoon. And, you know, first there was that shrinkage. And then as the websites come on and everything else,
I got to Rochester right when they'd merged staffs.
Yeah.
So we had bylines appearing in the DNC and in the Times Union. You had to write like a different 4 or 5 paragraph top for the Times Union story. But basically, the meat of the story was still exactly the same. You wrote a different lead, if you will.
So how many people were the joint operations when you first started? Roughly how many people were in the newsroom? 200?
Probably not that many. Probably somewhere in the 150 range.
Yeah, because I want to say when I started, and I worked on Insider, you know, so we were a little bit separate from the newsroom for a while. Kind of standalone publication in 04. I want to say there was like 130 people there.
Yeah.
You know, and now they had people that did the calendar, the photographers, the reporters, the editors in there.
But in some way, the splintering of what the DNC was with Insider, with the Rochester Magazine, a lot of people didn't even know that was made and written and laid out in the Democrat and Chronicle offices, and it was used to make money, right? Mm-hmm. Insider to make money through advertising, Rochester Magazine. A lot of the great stories you would see in some of those publications are fun stories, right?
Yeah.
They didn't appear in the daily section because they were in these specialty publications.
Yeah.
And then people started saying, well, there's not as much in the DNC anymore. Well, yes, there isn't. You're right, but it's in other places, and you don't really even know it. But it splintered the staff and it splintered the content.
You also had to look at how audiences were changing. You know, they could see
young readers,
and also affluent readers, Rochester Magazine, mm-hmm. people that are going to spend money, right? So they wanted to try to capture other audiences, you know, and spending audiences and also readership as well.
But so in a way, they were ahead of the curve. Like Insider was like 2003, 2002, right?
Yeah, about that.
So Gannett, in that regard, was kind of insightful to say, we need to get this younger audience. So let's create a young reader publication. And I thought it did pretty well.
The goal was to capture like 10% of the market share. And the pickup rates were like in the 80, 90% range. You know, you had about 30, 35,000 copies that went out weekly.
Free. And these are free.
Free. And, you know, and then we, you know, got into like doing different events at clubs. And I remember Water Street, we had a car giveaway. And remember the old East End Festival?
Absolutely.
We had a stage there. And, you know, it was a great spot to like experiment and to test out new
fun
ideas.
Stories. Yeah. Pam Cowan did some fun stuff. Yeah.
Pam's awesome. She's still in the area. But it was also.
An ex-girlfriend of mine became Dr. Ricky.
Yeah. And we all had those silly quotes in front of the book.
Yeah.
But then what happened, right? I got married. And it was 08, and the recession hit. And when I came back, everything just changed. The boss of Insider, he decided to move on. I think there was something going on. I thought he was offered another job and declined to take it. And then that's when the shakeup started to happen. It seemed like every 6 months someone was getting, you know, there was layoffs at the paper, right? Partly because of recession and everybody pulled back. But, you know, after you get out of the recession, what happens? Well, that's about the same time we get Facebook, we get Twitter, you know, LinkedIn and Instagram and Snapface comes along. All these other, you know.
And ultimately, Snapchat, though, I mentioned when I said gave Insider away for free, it sparked in my mind. I remember actually talked about this with Jim Boeheim once about like what happened. Why doesn't DNC cover Syracuse basketball on a daily basis the way it used to? And I said, well, we'd have a smaller staff. He said, well, what happened? Why don't, you know, there's less money coming in? And I said, you know, coach, and I really believe this, the fatal flaw of, if you want to point to one thing that they did wrong, they didn't charge for content on the website from the get-go. People got it for free on the website, and now they don't want to pay for it.
Well, it's tough to ask people to pay more for less.
Right. So there, but then there's that you were giving them more, and you weren't charging them anything.
Right, but there's that reality of it, right? So, I'm going to ask Jeff, you're only going to get five local stories and all this great USA Today content, but you're going to pay more for it. And then the other thing is, and there was a report just out recently, and it specifically blamed Google and Facebook for like taking away something about like $4.5 billion roughish dollars of revenue away from papers. Because look, a lot of people, the fight was back in the day before the websites, is trying to get people to read your story more than the headlines, right?
Right.
Well, I can go on. Most people just read the headlines anyway. They don't, you know, unless it's really pertinent to them or they got like 5 hours on a Sunday to read. They just read the headlines. So what does Google do? Google chronicles everything. You can just Google search for your town, or actually you can do an alert.
Right.
To come right into your email
inbox,
box,
yeah.
And just see what's – I mean, I used to do that with Wegmans. That's how I'd find out about where they're expanding in other parts of the country.
And Craigslist, you talk about revenue coming in, right?
Yeah, I
think
mean,
about the classified section for the DNC.
Yeah.
It used to be 12 to 16 pages every single day of people advertising garage sales and goods for sale and services, and that just kind of went away, gone.
Yeah, and you know, as we talk about this, like I said, I was telling you before – I would go to bat with like any reporter, photographer, those editors that are at the paper. Like everybody's working hard to do their jobs, foil, make officials accountable. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I got into the newspaper business because I thought newspapers always did it the best, told the best stories, had the most space to tell a full story versus just a drive-by-night shotgun gotcha type of situation. You know, there's a lot of great people that work there, but you know, just how the whole thing involves, and everybody tells me, you know, it's a shame what's going on with publications, and it is. And
we're trying to explain it a little bit. I'm not trying to criticize them. I want to explain. It will come off as criticism. Some stuff we'll talk about in our second segment here, but there were decisions that hurt them.
Yeah, but they can't. So let's just say you have 100,000 copies of any newspaper. Take 1 million copies. I don't care what it is. But let's just say 100,000 copies in like Monroe County, okay? Those are a lot of papers. You're, as an advertiser now, you're scattering your message to those 100,000. Like, I don't know if Jeff DeVeronica is going to be interested in the widgets of the ad that I put in or Todd Clawson, but I'm kind of taking a gamble that they're going to see my ads and that'll spur them to buy something. Well, today what I can do is I can go on Facebook and I can probably spend less dollars.
Fraction, yeah.
And I can target my audience. So I know I want to hit Clawson and DeVeronica that are 40-something white guys in this neighborhood, in this geography. That's my client. That's the type of person that I want to target.
Target, yeah.
And I can spend my money on Facebook to go find those people. I can segregate them out by zip code. There's some demographic stuff. It's changed a little bit since Facebook's they had that Cambridge Analytical thing with all the, you know, the privacy stuff. But every time you get an ad, like on Facebook, you see it, it's either because you're in Facebook and you clicked on something that's related to it, or you know, your content is there, or someone's trying to target you. And you know, marketing agencies do this very well. You know, the first year I left the DNC, I was at a local PR firm, and we worked for a park system out in Buffalo as they were celebrating like their 150th anniversary, I think it was. And we were in charge of getting memberships, new memberships for them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our strategies was to spend $50-$100, target certain zip codes around their parks to get more people. And we'd throw a link in there, and people signed up through that. Hmm. They would see it, you know.
The layperson doesn't, I don't think I always understand, is that advertising revenue is what is the moneymaker for newspapers.
Yeah.
And that's taken a serious hit in the last 2 decades, really. And that's the reason they can't afford to pay people, veterans, the salary they need to keep them, or like you and I, or they had to lay off veterans because they were making too much money, like a Spivak or a Kevin Oklubja or a John Hand, people who had a knowledge of Rochester that you can't replace with a young reporter, or you just don't replace them at all because you just don't replace the position. So we're talking with Todd Clawson, my former colleague with the Democratic Chronicle, about kind of, we're going to go to the future of the industry too. We'll talk a little about the DNC, but I actually think it is good what Gatehouse and Gannett are doing, because let's face it, what they've been doing, the Gannett, isn't working. So let's try something different and try to fortify by combining.
Yeah, Gannett's like, at a pivotal time just because the CEO is leaving. Now you have this offer. In the end, I really think the two are just buying each other time to
maybe,
try to figure
maybe
out the digital.
We'll take a break, come back, talk with Todd Clawson about media in Rochester and beyond right here on Word on the Street.
Hey, Cougar Cougar, that's me, Soccer Sam for Salvatore's Pizza. We buy all our products locally from Palmer's Foods. Our locations are spotless clean and owner-operated. Remember, we deliver everything but babies. Wah! Salvatore's.com.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct to You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
Rejuvenate, restore, refresh, and heal. At Fantuzzo Acupuncture, we seek to help achieve effective health and wellness in an elegant spa-like atmosphere. Fantuzzo Acupuncture specializes in traditional acupuncture, cosmetic anti-aging acupuncture, acupressure, cupping, CBD topical creams, and more. Approach healthcare holistically. Visit FantuzzoAcupuncture.com to book online today. FantuzzoAcupuncture.com.
For today's hottest eyewear, Rochester only has one real option, Welpley & Paul. After 95-plus years, they can match the service of the past with the value on the brands you love today. Visit them at WelpleyAndPaul.com for your nearest location.
Drive home and talk sports with a Rochester guy. I'm Carl Falk. Listen to me Monday 3 till 6 on the one and only Fox Sports 1280, Rochester.
Hey, it's Jeff DeVeronica here, formerly of the Democrat and Chronicle, like a lot of my former colleagues would introduce themselves to people. And we're talking about doing an interview with Todd Clawson about newspapers in Rochester today. What do you miss from your newspaper? What would you like to see them do? I should say your news organization, really, because it's not just about the paper anymore. Obviously, it's digital, and that's always the big question here. Can you feed the beast of the website and the digital with the staff that you're also asking to do in-depth stories that people can't get anywhere else? I'm bullish about this. We have very talented newspaper or TV people in this town. You still can't get into the depth and the context of any TV piece that you can in a great newspaper story. And I say newspaper meaning in print or online. And you just can't. The talent of some of the reporters still at the DNC, the depth that they can tell a story, the investigations, the profiles, it just can't be done on television. And I think it's real important that we preserve that. So I don't want anyone to think that this interview Todd and I are doing here, we don't want to see the DNC go away. We don't want to see it suffer. We're trying to talk and at least give strategies on what the future could hold for the newspaper industry, not just in Rochester and beyond. And I think actually some of this consolidation that could happen could help the Democrat and Chronicle. The Democrat and Chronicle used to have a Canandaigua bureau. A guy named Jack Jones used to be the bureau chief, and he used to work out of a bureau, an office in Canandaigua. And that's certainly an area that if this merger goes through and the Canandaigua Messenger becomes part of Gannett, that it'll help the coverage of that area and help bolster the Democrat and Chronicle. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot to play out here, but in a way, I'm kind of glad that this happened. The rumors of mergers for the Democrat and Chronicle and for Gannett are hopefully over now and this merger has happened. Living that in that industry and hearing about stuff like that, it's very difficult. So now, you know, what they've been trying to do over the last decade hasn't been working. So try something different here, which is a consolidation of two big companies to become one bigger company for newspaper publishing. Does that mean that maybe they go down to 3 days a week for home delivery? Maybe it does. Does it mean that at some point maybe the DNC doesn't publish a print edition on Monday and Tuesday? Maybe that happens. I don't know the answers to that, but I know that a good city needs a good newspaper to hold public officials and government accountable. And I hope that the DNC can thrive in the future. I hope this change in business model might help them. You know, this merger would certainly help streamline advertising throughout all the Gannett papers, which would be the Gannett and the smaller weekly or Gatehouse papers throughout the country. That would help them gain bigger advertisers. Now, I'm bullish on this, and this is what the folks I don't think that run Gannett now think about, is that certain markets like ours, I think a print product is a viable product, certainly for the advertising element. And I think the scaling down of the print product locally has really hurt the Democratic Chronicle's image locally. And I'd like to see him find a way to repop and rebolster the print edition, because it's going to help lure back some of those advertisers that have left the print edition in the Democratic Chronicle. Let's face it, Facebook, Google, Craigslist, that's all just totally taking so many dollars out of the Democratic Chronicle's pockets. So we'll take a quick break, come back and play part two of my interview with Todd Clawson. But if you want to get in on that, I'll literally stop the interview as we're going and take some phone calls to get your opinions on new media, the new world, the past. 222-1280 is our number. Taking a break now. If you get on the line now, we'll take your call before we get into the second part of the interview. You're listening to Word on the Street. I'm Jeff DeVeronica, right here on Fox Sports 1280.
Hi, this is Rich Ide, and it's back. The Ides of March is here at Ide Volkswagen. So come visit us in East Rochester and get a great car for a great deal. We make car buying easy and fun at Ide Volkswagen. We'd love to earn your business.
It doesn't get any better.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct to You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
It's back. Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. Salvatore's.com.
Tonight, the Louisville Bats play Frontier Field against the Wings. Red Wings pregame begins at 6:45 tonight on Rochester's number one and most listened to sports station, Fox Sports 1280.
We are back with Todd Clawson. It's Jeff DeVeronica. We're talking about the media, the changes, the future. And one thing, Todd, I think both you and I did, and some of our colleagues didn't do, was, and there used to be a big sign on the wall at 55 Exchange Boulevard, adapt or die. And we adapted to the changing face of the industry. We bought into social media. We bought into videos. We bought into sharing our work. We bought into getting out in the community and becoming more of a, so it's quote-unquote, personality than just a nameless, faceless writer, to help build the brand of the Democratic Chronicle and ourselves.
I used to remember your head out. What was it? Left Field or Frontier
Left Field?
Field,
yeah. Mary Chow, Leo Roth.
Me, Tiffany Lankus.
Yeah,
you know, there was
yeah.
a few. There was a
Jim
few.
Lawrence, Jane Suter, I think, was on that too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess in any organization, you're going to have people that are just going to dive into the next effort that's going on. And like, you know, I never thought I was the best writer. I just thought I did a lot of things well. And I went and saw where the stories were. Now,
it kept it fresh.
Yeah,
covered high school sports for so long, right?
You're
that
different.
It changed.
Yeah, you're different than me, because I would say if I was there 13 years, about every 2 years, I was doing something different.
Right. But for me, I think the social media aspect and certainly the video aspect kept it fresh enough that I was learning, I was evolving. I just wasn't writing the preview story for Monroe County Soccer or just covering this game. I was covering it a different way with videos.
How many people come up to you still and say, hey, can you do a story for me?
Yes, it happens.
2 years later, well, I'm still getting
you're
it.
You're 2 years out, I'm about a year out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it happens. It happens. And I wish everyone at the DNC well, but I will tell you, and we alluded to this in the previous segment, there were decisions made at the very top that I thought there were hires that weren't what they could have been, and there were people that were let go that really hurt the paper. And those people were let go for various reasons. One was money, but there were people like a John Hand, fantastic local knowledge, fantastic writer, did the deep dive stuff, and it hurt the credibility of the Democratic Chronicle when a guy who had every cop's phone number in his phone was no longer with the paper.
You know, I mean, John was being...
And his family was with the paper.
Well, yeah, and Phil, and I worked with Phil when he was at Messenger Post.
John's
after,
dad, yeah.
Yeah, after he retired. And, you know, John was just a great guy. And, you know, Charlie Tan, he was on national TV for his work that he did and tried to explain to others what exactly went on and stayed with the facts. I mean, you know, in any big organization, there's going to be, you know, from time to time, people are going to leave, even if they're not in this perpetual sort of downsizing mode, you know, and everybody's like on their edge of their seat. I mean, I remember one time I heard there was layoffs going on. Me and another reporter who was writing for Insider at the time went out to lunch. We came back, and pretty much as soon as he came back, he was gone, getting walked out the back door because he was on the list, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
yeah,
man, that was like really, really close. And
it's tough, you know.
They made us reapply for our jobs.
Yep.
And we got different jobs, you know. And you know, it was probably at that point where I really said, okay, you know, I don't like it. I'm gonna make the most of it. I became a business writer, which I never thought I would be. And then from there, it was just, okay, can you come in earlier? Can you do this? And it was a perpetual just changing of the guard. And everything that they did on a corporate level, whether it was selling a business segment or acquiring something that they thought would bring in more revenue, it just bought a little time. So going back to that timepiece, Gannett and Gatehouse, I didn't think Gannett would be acquired. I thought Gannett would do the acquiring. Mm-hmm. There was talk about them in the Tribune Company quite frequently. So the fact that Gatehouse, which is a smaller company in terms of overall revenues, buying Gannett was really, you know, trying to buy Gannett, really surprising to me. Not that Gatehouse wouldn't. It's just they went for the biggest fish. And apparently one of every six newspapers in the country, if this deal goes through, will be owned by Gannett. Yeah.
Gannett, or the new Gannett.
Yeah, the new Gannett.
Because they're going to keep that Gannett name.
Yep, that's a good way to put it. So,
now, there's always – Gatehouse has had a reputation for slashing – but you know, slashing staffs and doing away with duplicate editors, and there's already regionalization that's been happening with mm-hmm. the Democrat and Chronicle for sure. I think Sarah Taddeo just announced this week that she her beat now is going to become more of
statewide.
Was it investigations?
Yeah, it's sort of like a watchdog role. I think it more has to do with you know, if you feel companies are cheating you or whatever, you know, sort of like a consumer-based role.
But it's going to be statewide. I know that Steve Bradley also is working with reporters now remotely in Vermont and other Gannett properties in the region, right?
Yeah.
Karen Magnuson, before she left, was overseeing operations in other regional properties.
They have reporters in Albany that write for all the New York papers, you know.
So some of that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
It's too bad that that couldn't have happened where you still had enough staff and you could go hyper-local with some stuff.
Right.
You know, I was hoping that they replaced me with two young guys instead of just one.
Yeah.
Right? To announce to the market, hey, we think high school sports are so important that we're going to have another person on the beat.
Right.
And, you know, I guarantee Stevie Johnson's making less than I was making. So I was like, hey, take that extra money and hire somebody else. Make two people.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen that way. But so anyway.
And I see Stevie out. Like, he's you know, he's banging the doors. You know, he's what I see.
Oh, no doubt.
Doing a good
hustles,
job.
Yeah.
But this is what I worry about, right? So let's just say on a local level, we had the old Wolf papers the weeklies where I started, which don't really have a reporter now, and anybody, you know, could write a release and put a story in. You have the Messenger, which has a small staff based in Canandaigua. That has a legacy, probably dates back further than the DNC, I think. And then you have the DNC. So what are you going to see? Well, there's printing presses in Canandaigua that I think might have been once owned by Gannett. Those printing operations will probably move to Greece, where Gannett does its local printing. And I doubt, like, some of those operations in Canandaigua will be as viable. Will they keep an office out there? Perhaps.
Well, there used to be a Canandaigua bureau for the DNC, so now they'll, like, kind of have that again.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, if that's the way that they want to go.
They analyze different markets of, like, where do we still have a lot of, you know, the region kind of went away a little bit, right? Let's cover Monroe County. But they would always say that Ontario County corridor, we still sell a lot of papers there. So guess what? Canandaigua was important to them. Victor is really important
to them. If
you
were to guess, what do you think the DNC's circulation is these days?
Daily, it's around 65,000, I think.
I think it's less.
I don't know.
So I remember, if I was there 2 years ago, I was there 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, remember sitting in a meeting with the publisher, and the publisher said it was about 60,000 at that time. Newspapers, and, you know, this whole Gatehouse Gannett News overshadowed. Gannett is really good at doing this, right? There'll be a piece of news on the left that's kind of like this big, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do more schools coverage. And then to the right, there's something else going on that isn't as pleasant. So on the left, you have this big acquisition. Hey, great for shareholders, da, da, da. On the right, Gannett had second quarter results down 9.9%. You know, you look at the independent, like the Pew Research Center and all that stuff, ad revenue for papers are down 13%. Circulation is down almost another 10%. Year over year, it's like, unless there's like a big news of the day that's just like something just so crazy that you never seen or heard before, the daily circulation doesn't go up. All it's going
to
do
in had to try something different, though.
I think they're just buying themselves time. The two
organizations, with the opportunity to maybe win, you know, to win back the market.
Yeah, the paper isn't gonna the print paper isn't gonna win back. And if you hear everything that they say in their quarterlies, it's all about digital transformation.
But let me ask you this: all the clicks. Here's what I've asked this to editors before I left.
Yeah.
Is it bringing in more advertising dollars? Doesn't look like it.
And there's only so many spaces you can put an ad in a story before it makes people frustrated.
And click off and go something else.
And they won't even
Or their phone rings, or they get a text message, or they get a Facebook alert or a Twitter alert, and they're distracted and they're not on that move. Because there's analytics with the DNC where they measure the page views, how many clicks
a
story gets.
Same thing in Buffalo News, too. They have the same exact system.
How long someone is staying with that story? Is it 30 seconds? Is it 20 seconds? Is it a minute and a half? Engagement on that story has become a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might get pop. You know, like I can't. There'll be a time when they'll be like a probably soon they'll have a 1 minute into a story. You're gonna get another pop up. It's gonna hit you again.
Yeah.
So I actually think this could be good. I would like to see more. And I think I read this. I think Jack Garner posted this recently on Facebook this week. I would like to see a little more emphasis on print again.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds dumb, right? We talked about digital, how it's all digital, right? I think in this market, we are somewhat unique, and I've been saying this. It's certainly in the world I lived in, which is high school sports. People want to see their kids' names in the paper to cut it out and put it into a scrapbook or to boast to their friends. And I worry that that's never going to happen ever again. It probably won't. But I know that it became tough for me to tell people, well, here's why we're not putting stuff in the paper anymore. It's because it's online. They're like, well, I don't read it online as much, or that doesn't, you know.
You know what we do is we get the East edition, and then if we see a name, we cut out that paper. You know, we get the paper.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of PDF form of that story or whatever. But
there's also like
there's other papers.
Like the online edition. One thing that bothered me. Like people don't understand. There are so many people because a lack of advertising funds for the Democratic Chronicle did not allow them to tell the marketplace. Guess what? If you still just go digital, you can look at what the paper looks like every single day on the app, on your iPad and on your phone, where you can click on, and it's on your iPad, it's going to look exactly like it looks at the paper every day. But you know what? Very few people know about that.
Well, I think people know because, I mean, look, you see New York Post, you see other organizations. I mean, maybe they don't. I don't really have any hardcore evidence to say that. All I know for consumers, what are you worried about? What are you worried about with your cable TV bill? Then it goes up every year. And then you don't get like the YES Network. So then you go
or channel 8 or 13, like I'm with DirecTV now. Yeah.
So then you go get a streaming service like I have, you know, and then they have a fight and stuff. You know, and it's just like cable got too much for us. So then we cut the cord and cut our bill in like half.
But I would say to people who would get upset when the DNC raised their subscription rates, what did you pay for cable TV 10 years ago? Or what did you pay for gas 10 years ago?
Yeah.
So everything's gone up. So, but I can understand. That's why I go back to the fatal flaw of newspapers was giving away the online content for free.
Yeah.
Well, because they were so hell-bent on getting online and getting stuff
here's
going.
Here's the other thing. I put something on my website that whether you pay for it or not, Channel 10, Channel 13, Channel 8, WXXI, all the other competitors in town is going to read that story. They're going to take and claim it as theirs. They're not going to give the DNC credit. Some people do. You know, they'll say where they get
very rarely.
But, yeah, exactly. And they're just going to, you know, take it, unfortunately. And that happens a lot in the business.
Well, and every TV station this week, certainly after the DNC reached out to me on Sunday and had a little story on this Ames Webb's data breach for Pearson assessments, all the TV stations followed suit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after the DNC. So when we were in school, it was – the newspaper was the agenda setter, right?
Yeah.
The newspaper really is still the agenda setter. And I think Channel 13 does a fantastic job, and I'd love to know what their staff is, their new staff is compared to the DNC, because I think it's getting closer and closer to the number of reporters they have.
Yeah, well, I think that's sort of the model that the newspaper seems to be going. But, you know, it's going to be tough. And if you look in other markets, what is happening is – and there was just a paper in one of the Pittsburgh Post Gazette, maybe. They're doing less days a week printing. And, you know, that's a cost. Now, when we were at Gannett, the one thing that they did is cut a little bit all over. The paper got smaller in terms of, like,
there's no living section. And now it's just.
They would get some staffing. Right. They would try, like, six different things and just cut back on a little death by a thousand cuts. So,
but I do think.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I hope it doesn't. I mean, I hope it doesn't.
I want to give one shout out to a newspaper in Geneva, the Finger Lakes Times. I don't know what their financial situation, privately owned. There was someone from Gannett who I think is their publisher now. But for a small staff and a daily that covers Geneva and a little bit of the surrounding area, they do a pretty solid job with the resources that they have. You know, I've been impressed when I've kind of watched them because you feel like they, you know, Geneva and Waterloo probably more so that they really focus on. But there's stories that their staff is finding that they get out there. And there's the problem, right, with the one in every six papers being Gannett or Gatehouse creates a unified voice, right? And one of the great things about having all these different newspapers is there's all these different ideas that reflect the community, right? And you don't have a company, is it Sinclair that owns 13? The owner of 13, and they came out and said all their anchors had to do this thing, you know, the statement, and everybody, you know, that's you have someone up in the ivory tower kind of dictating content locally. The way these organizations are going to survive is not by repurposing national content because people get it all over
local,
the place.
Local, it's local.
Find the local stuff. Hammer it.
I agree.
No one goes to town or school board meetings. That's how I started in this business. So. Right. It's a shame. It doesn't happen.
The storytelling thing is good, and the big juggling act is how do we maintain a vibrant, up-to-the-minute news website when we're trying to get people report? Do we have enough reporters to do deep-dive storytelling that is content no one can get anywhere else? That's the big million-dollar question, and I know it's stuff you and I were dealing with when we were there too, is you have to be able to balance getting the daily report onto the website quickly and efficiently and making it vibrant. With videos and social media stuff, with also trying to balance doing the deep dive stories that they can't get anywhere else. And that's tough to do with a smaller staff. You and I both know, and people think, writing a really good enterprise deep dive story is difficult.
Oh, yeah.
It is tough. And I will tell you this, it's tougher than anything I've done in the last year at West Rondequoit.
Well, and there isn't a person that I know that I've talked to post-newspaper world, Gannett in particular, that isn't doing great things on the other side, you know, we're doing something different now. We're using a lot of the same skills, you know, like in our jobs, but me and you. But
just not working as many nights a week. Hey, true. I got to run, but Todd, thanks for spending some time with me today. Very knowledgeable on all this stuff, and good luck with everything in the future.
Yeah, I appreciate it, buddy.
I'm Rock Diva. What do you want? What's your handle?
Todd J. Clausen.
Todd J. Clausen, C-L-A-U-S-E-N.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, good times.
My thanks again to Todd Clausen for coming on talking about the Gatehouse Gannett thing. And I got another former colleague coming up in a few minutes on the other side of this break. Interesting discussion. 222-1280 is if you want to join the discussion. We got about 15 minutes left. 222-1280. Give me a call. I'd be curious. I miss the fact for high school sports that the kid that hits the buzzer beater on a Tuesday night is not going to see that headline in the paper the next day that says, Johnson hits buzzer beater to lift Mendon or whatever. And that's sad to me. But we got one more segment left. It's Word on the Street. I'm Jeff DeVeronica right here on Fox Sports 1280.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct to You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
Rejuvenate, restore, refresh, and heal. At Fantuzzo Acupuncture, we seek to help achieve effective health and wellness in an elegant spa-like atmosphere. Fantuzzo Acupuncture specializes in traditional acupuncture, cosmetic anti-aging acupuncture, acupressure, cupping, CBD topical creams, and more. Approach healthcare holistically. Visit FantuzzoAcupuncture.com to book online today. FantuzzoAcupuncture.com.
Hi, this is Dan Delight from Donuts Delight, Rochester's finest donut. Try our new 20-pack of donuts for only $20. Donuts Delight is open every day at 6 a.m. for breakfast. Now we deliver donuts and logo donuts. Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver, Rochester's finest donut.
He's the one and only Dan Patrick, and he talks sports with you Monday, 9 till noon. Only on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
It's Jeff DeVeronica on the Word on the Street, and my next guest is the president of the New York State Sports Writers Association, former colleague of mine with the Democratic Chronicle. He used to cover Syracuse sports, used to cover high school sports, used to cover local colleges. He did it all, and he's one of the most knowledgeable guys I know in regard to high school sports. But I also want to hear his take on the future of newspapers locally and what he thinks maybe this Gannett-Gatehouse merger, if it goes through, would mean. John Moriello joins us. John, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. How are you today?
Good. So what do you think? Help? Hurt? Slow the bleeding? What's going to happen here with this thing if it does go through? I said this in an interview with Todd. You know, I like that they're trying something because they've been spinning their wheels, in my opinion. I felt that for a while.
Yeah, as to whether it's help, hurt, or whatever, I would say all of the above, because quite honestly, this does buy them some time to put pieces together, make the most of, and God, I hate dropping this word, but I will anyway, but make the most of synergy and regionalization and so forth. So it does give them time to take advantage of that.
And platforms, you have to say platforms, synergy platforms.
Yeah, and also I have to work in the word paradigm, and I think that's the triple crown. But in all seriousness, the elephant in the room on all of this, however, is they took on considerable debt. I think this is being financed through Apollo Investment Group or one of the entities named Apollo. There's a couple of them out there. But this is a group that does specialize in buying distressed properties and hopefully helping nurse them back to life. If they can't resuscitate them, well, then it becomes slash and burn, cut your losses, sell off what you can to get as much of your money back and call it a day. So there's that risk in there. But, you know, that's also a risk that the newspaper industry was already facing anyway, regardless of whether they were self-financed or financed through banks or financed through firms, investment firms. So it was still out there. They had bought themselves some time, though, to try and figure this thing out a little bit.
I like, from at least from the world we live in, at least I live in still to a degree, is high school sports. You know, if you could tell, right. If you could roll in what Bob Chavez has been doing out in Canandaigua into the pages and the website of the DNC, right. I think that'd be fantastic. I mean, I also have said to people I used to work with, and I wish they would make an offer to Paul Gotham of Pick and Splinters.
Oh, so, yeah.
Keep doing what you do, but let's just move it underneath the umbrella of the DNC. We'll even just keep calling what you're calling it. The content's great, right. And I think that would help.
Steph, here's the thing, though. If Paul Gotham came up with an angel investor to put up, let's say, $250,000 for a share of the company, Paul could go off on his own and exceed what the DNC and other traditional media are capable of right now. He's got a nice little empire going, and I really admire the way Paul has been methodically rolling this out. He's got the plan. He's an awful lot like Howard Owens, who runs the Batavian, which is an online-only news presence in Batavia. The Batavia Daily News is still a really nice newspaper, but they have head-to-head competition from Howard, who is Howard came to town a decade ago with Gatehouse when Gatehouse moved in, and then Howard left the company and he spun off this little online-only website, and that works. What he's doing works. What Paul Gotham is doing definitely works. They're onto something, and yeah, the newspaper industry could learn from it, but I also think that there's some stubborn people in the newspaper industry who refuse to learn from it.
We're talking with John Moriello about the future of newspapers and media here locally. You know, there's a guy, I forget the guy's name, the website's called dkpittsburghsports.com, and he's made it. He's made an online-only sports publication. They cover the Steelers, they cover the Penguins, they cover the Pirates, and he's gotten big enough that he actually's hired people away from the Post-Gazette. And, you know, there was a point, maybe 18 months ago, I was discussing it with somebody, could we do that in Rochester? Could we create an online-only sports site that would cover our local teams, cover our high school sports, and seeing what Paul Gotham's doing, I think it could work. I think you would need some angel investors, like you said, almost to a degree. I worry, though, one of the big concerns, John, to me was, you know, okay, say you have a Red Wings beat and you have a Nighthawks beat. What else is left, right? Would you get enough page views to support the coverage of it to keep your advertisers happy? Now that we're whittled down to what we were, we're basically Nighthawks, Amherst, Red Wings, and then the Lancers too, to a degree. But I think it could work.
It is more plausible. Quite honestly, there were too many minor league teams in this community. We were the king of minor league sports, literally the biggest minor league sports town in the country.
Yep.
And we thinned the herd on that. The herd thinned itself out of necessity.
I think if the Rhinos had gone under, the Flash would have made it. If the Rhinos had gone under, the Flash would have made it.
Right. It could have been either or. I absolutely agree on that. And Jeff, before I forget, I want to go back to something that you were talking about in the previous segment with Todd about how parents and grandparents want to see their kids' names in print and so forth. Let me just give you a quick example. At the end of each high school sports season, we at the New York State Sports Writers Association, we select all state teams in a variety of sports, soccer, football, basketball, baseball, softball, et cetera. We offer the ability for people to buy all state award certificates online with their kid's name and accomplishment on it.
Mm-hmm.
We did not set out to make money off of that.
Yeah.
But you would be stunned that, I'm stunned. I'm floored by the number of people who want to pay for that certificate. You know, they'll send in their $6.25 after their kid has been named all state. And I'm just floored by the number of people who will do that because they want that tangible piece of paper in front of them.
Wow.
That in a way should be a message to the newspaper industry that Guys, you can't bail out entirely from print as quickly as you think you can, that there's still value in it. So I just wanted to follow back on that.
Yeah,
acknowledge
for
that
sure.
You were on the right trail.
And I think it, you know, it can make you money. The AGR awards were great for 1 year, right? They were fantastic. People loved them, but they didn't make enough money on the dinner, so they got rid of it. And I had said, let's do a scaled back version of it. And let's, instead of making this big, glossy, glitzy night, there was a local school that had said, I'll give you my auditorium for free. And you guys can just have it. You don't have to rent it. Let's just do like an award. I'm like, let's do an award ceremony and let's give out certificates. And maybe we do charge $5 a head. And here's our prize for each AGR athlete of the year that gets to come up on stage and take a bow. And maybe because it's just an award ceremony, maybe they actually do give a 2-minute speech. We give them a glossy, framed version of their cover in the AGR section. And I was told, no, we can't do that. It's got to be the Gannett way.
Yeah, well, the bean counters lost sight of the fact that there is some value in nearly breaking even or only doing a little bit better than breaking even on certain adventures, certain ideas. Exactly.
Branding, goodwill, absolutely, all that good stuff, right?
Right. You keep your company, you keep your product at top of mind with the community by doing stuff like that. And, you know, I hate to see that stuff fade away.
Yeah, me too. And one of the other reasons people are, why'd you leave? Well, working nights and weekends and some holidays for 25 years takes its toll. And I have a daughter now, and I wanted to see her a little bit more. That was part of it. But, you know, also I get worried about the business model of the newspapers. And I get worried that, you know, print advertising is still the cash cow. And it seems like they're trying to kill the cash cow. And if you kill the cash cow, then you kill everything, in my opinion. And that's what worries me about the business model of newspapers, not just in Rochester, but all over the country.
Yeah, when I left the business, I had put in about a dozen years on the DNC sports staff, and then I went over and worked on the website for about a dozen years. When I left in 2007, the consensus then was that for every $7 of print advertising that disappeared, you know, because people were converting over to the internet, for every $7 of print advertising lost, only $1 was recovered in online advertising. I suspect that the ratio is quite a bit better today, but still not near where it's a one-for-one replacement.
Well, and even it can't be.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. And that's why there's – and maybe I'm crazy, John. This has been my – I've floated this before on the radio, but I if I had the money and I had the guts and it was like, we're going to burn through a couple million here, how about an afternoon delivery, an afternoon edition again? No?
No. I just don't see that working. People
– No. Get rid of the morning edition.
No.
And it just becomes an afternoon paper. No?
No. You could accomplish the same thing with, in a sense, you could accomplish the same thing with morning delivery if you would just resign yourself to the fact that you're no longer a newspaper, you're now a magazine. Taking the view of topics.
Well, I think that is the strategy,
the
though, John.
30,000 feet.
I think that is the strategy. Right. I think the website is for the breaking news and for the stuff that you want to see immediately, and then the paper is for the stuff that's obviously 1 or 2 days old.
Okay, if you're fully committed to doing that, then the PM version of the print product does work, but you have to be fully committed to that.
Yeah, and that's the question. Can it happen? Hey, John, the music means I got to run, but always entertaining, always interesting. And you and I both, we wanted to see there to be coverage locally, and they just got to figure it out. And I just hope that people that are in charge, and I think we'll see if this helps them or hurts them, if this merger goes through. And it ain't going through anytime quickly, folks, so things will be status quo for at least the next several months.
Right.
His name's John Morial. You can visit his website, newyorksportswriters.org. And, John, I'm sure we'll be talking again in a few months as we get back into the high school sports season. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Jeff.
John Moriello. Fantastic, President of New York State Sports Writers Association. My thanks to our producer, Rich Jones. This is Jeff DeVerona. Can be back in the air chair in about a month for the Connors and Ferris High School Sports Show, brought to you by Salvatore's Pizza. Thanks, everybody.